Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Scott, get ready for today.
I don't know that I am ready, Ellie, but I'm doing my best.
You got to get ready. I put in a little bit of oomph into that opening jingle because we have the most rad guest today. Guys, welcome to Born to Love. I'm Ellie Kemper.
This is Scott Eckert.
This is our podcast. Every week we have a guest come on the show, talk about something in the world that they love. This week we have the legendary Tony Hawk, or as I call him, Tony the Hawk. Hawk.
I'm sure he's going to love that. Tony the Hawk Hawk, one of the greatest skateboarders who ever lived. Anybody who had an Xbox or a Nintendo or a Sega or whatever has almost certainly played Tony Hawk. I have, so I'm excited to talk to him. Before we bring him in, Ellie, is there anything that you love this week?
Yeah, it's not all about Tony Hawk. I loved looking forward to chatting with him this week. But another thing I love this week, Scott, you'll not believe me when I tell you this.
I will probably not believe you.
Never in my life have I had a preserved meat.
I don't believe that, Ellie.
Never. The idea of it, frankly, grossed me out.
Wait a minute. I'm slamming the brakes on this.
Uh-oh.
Because you said I wasn't going to believe you. Of course I was prepared to believe you. And then you said it. You said those words that you'd never had a preserved meat. And I sincerely don't believe you, Ellie. What are you talking about? First of all, am I misunderstanding? What is a preserved meat?
Scott, you probably are not misunderstanding me. I'm probably misusing the term. When I say preserved meat, I mean a meat that has been dried and salted and cured, I guess.
Have you ever had a slice of salami?
Oh, touche. Scott, I have had salami. I have had a preserved meat before. Everything I just said was a lie. Please, listener, I am delivering you as best I can true news. I just messed up then. I have had salami.
Are you thinking of like a jerky then? Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm getting at. Scott, I had turkey jerky for the first time in my life, and it was absolutely delectable. I loved every bite of it. It was not hard. I wasn't pulling at it like I thought I would be, like you pull at, you know, fruit leather. I was able to bite it off in one chomp. I was able to savor it. It was lightly seasoned with salts and various peppers. It was delivering protein because I suddenly felt full of energy. And I was so delighted by the whole thing. I felt terrible because for years, I would make fun of my brother who would always get beef jerky at the gas station. at the gas station.
Well, that's where you get it, in fairness. Beef jerky. It's a gas station purchase, really.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you where I got this turkey jerky. It was from Trader Joe's, which, of course, I'm like, oh, it's Trader Joe's. It's cool. But gas station. I still don't know if I would get beef jerky from the gas station. But actually, now that I've been converted, yeah, I'll get
you
jerky anywhere you offer it.
For sure. Now that, yeah. I mean, if you like the Trader, it's not going to be shots fired at Trader Joe's. They're very healthy. They've got a lot of, like you say, they're cool. I don't know if I buy that. But the truth is that they're on the healthier side of things. You should go full dark side. You should get some gas station jerky, and it might be a revelation to you, Ellie.
Well, I have a feeling that once I do try it, like gas station beef jerky, it'll make the turkey jerky from Trader Joe's look like child's play. And so baby steps. But because I'm not sure I'm ready to go, is this the gateway jerky? What? Spiraling. Scott, it's the jerky. It gave me so much protein. I was like Popeye with the spinach out of the can. I suddenly felt, I don't know. I think it's all the salt, frankly.
I think so too.
I know. Without the salt, I think it would taste like leather.
I think you are a healthy person, as we've discussed many times. I don't think you have a heavy salt diet, right? So when here all of a sudden you're just like, just overwhelmed with a salty, savory flavor, it comes as a welcome shock to your system.
A blast into my veins. And I think that is what's happening. But I love snacks. We've also discussed that. I love snacks. So to have discovered a new snack is such a joy to me. And, you know, I've been made lighter, a little bit lighter because of it. So that's what I love this week.
I have a question for you, Ellie.
Yeah.
So if you end up becoming a jerky aficionado, right?
Sure.
And you try the gas station, you try the Trader Joe's, and it becomes your new snack, one of your go-tos. How are you going to face your brother? The brother you so ruthlessly mocked for years.
Yeah, for getting gas station jerky. You know what? Why don't I just rise to the occasion and mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa, and just let him know. I think that means my fault, right?
I think so, yeah.
I was culpable. Mm-hmm. I was responsible. I don't know. But I'll say it 3 times and I'll let him know that I'm sorry.
You'll fall to your knees.
I'll fall to my knees I'll apologize.
Mea culpa and thrice screamed into the air.
And Scott, of course, as an offering, I will, you know, offer up a box load of turkey jerky or gas station jerky.
You'll have
his
to,
call.
You'll have to break jerky together. That's the peace offering.
Brother and sister breaking jerky together. That is, you know what? If only all truces were that simple and straightforward. Scott, speaking of joy, and I bet this man's probably had a gas station jerky or once in his life, right?
I don't know. We can ask him when we have him on our show, which is imminently. Our guest today, Tony Hawk, he needs no introduction. He's the most famous skateboarder in the world. Tony went pro at the age of 14, and by the time he was 16, he was already the world's best skater. Tony's also a business owner and an author. His biography, How Did I Get Here? The Ascent of an Unlikely CEO, is a New York Times bestseller. For the past 20 years, Tony's nonprofit organization, The Skate Park Project, has built safe and legal skate parks for underprivileged communities. And guess what he's joining us today to talk about, Ellie? Is it skateboarding?
No.
No, of course he loves that. He's the greatest who ever did it. But that's not why he's here. He's going to talk to us about his love of 80s movies.
Oh, I think I can get behind that. All right? No controversy there. Who doesn't love an 80s movie? Who doesn't love Tony Hawk? When we come back, we're going to talk about both. Welcome back to Born to Love. We are sitting here with the iconic, legendary Tony Hawk. Tony, hello.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Scott and I are huge fans of yours. We have been a little bit giddy this morning in anticipation of talking with you. You are here today to talk about your love of 80s movies, which we also love. It's great.
I'm basically a child of the 80s.
Yes.
And went to a lot of movies. And I feel like I still quote movies incessantly from that era.
Yes.
To the point where definitely there's a new generation that just look at me quizzically like, what are you talking about?
You're like, oh, wait, does that not resonate? Although the thing is, I feel like everything is cyclical, and just like, you know, people love Friends now or whatever it is that,
True.
Comes back into style. But there are some 80s movies that people don't catch the references as much anymore.
Yeah.
Which ones are your favorites to quote, Tony?
Oh, wow. Now you put me on the spot. That's tricky. I mean, I would say, Caddyshack's, it always comes up. There's always something that you can relate to Caddyshack, I feel like, in any situation.
All of humanity is represented in Caddyshack somehow.
True. Yes, it is. Yeah. Gosh, what else? I love RoboCop. And I mean, if you're like a deep cut is maybe a big...
Big, not a deep cut at all.
Now you've got me. I have to confess something, and I'm going to confess it right here and right now on this show. Guys, I've seen Caddyshack once. I've seen it only one time.
Yeah.
And Scott, this won't surprise you, but I've never seen RoboCop.
I would no, that doesn't surprise me. You should check out RoboCop. I don't think you'd like it, but it's a great movie.
It is, but beyond the excessive violence, it is a great statement on society. Much like Starship Troopers, which was written by the same guy, actually.
Oh, okay. See, I'm
but
all
I don't think
down.
That qualifies as 80s. I feel like that was 90s.
No,
probably.
Starship Troopers is a 90s movie.
Yeah, so we'll leave that out. But I will tell you one movie that my wife and I both. You know, you have those moments when you meet someone and then you both like zero in like, oh my God, that's The Burbs.
Yeah.
The Burbs is our absolute one of our all-time favorites.
Yep.
And we are constantly quoting it. And our big regret was we got to meet Tom Hanks a couple years ago coming out of an Oscar party. And our big regret is that we didn't talk about The Burbs.
Oh my gosh. How did you not?
It was just it was so unexpected.
Right.
He was walking out as we were walking in. It was like, oh, Tom Hanks, we love you.
Yeah.
And then I think I said something about Big because he skated in Big.
Ooh.
Oh, right.
I had forgotten that.
And so I had this thing like, hey, I saw you skateboard. You're in Big Skate. He's like, I was. And then after he left, my wife, Kathy's like, we didn't even bring up The Burbs.
Yep.
What is wrong with us?
Oh, because you were caught off guard. That's the thing.
I was caught off guard.
Yeah, but
that movie is all time. We have kids of varying ages from 30 down to 15.
Yep.
We've made them all watch it.
Oh, yeah. Required viewing. I mean, that is something, and I will, again, you should know, my knowledge of 80 movies, it won't be as deep as yours or Scott's. I feel that Scott has a pretty firm grasp on the era, right? Am I wrong with
that? A medium. I wouldn't, compared to most people, I wouldn't say that I'm unusually well informed about 80s movies. Compared to you, Ellie, I think I probably know a few more.
Scott and I were in an improv group together in college, and we would play games involving pop culture. Like, those would be some of the games. And it was just known that I would not know the answers to anything. So you should know that, Tony. You sometimes have to speak to me like I am an alien visiting Earth. But I have seen The Burbs. I have seen Caddyshack once. And I want to say, and this is where I feel like I will be able to contribute to the conversation, is John Hughes. Because those movies, of course, are iconic. And any layman like knows the John Hughes genre, the John Hughes library.
Sure. Starting at Breakfast Club, I'm sure.
Yes. And there is something so, it's nostalgia, but it's like they don't make movies like that anymore, right?
I think they do. It's just, kids just have a different experience now, a different high school experience.
Yeah.
I didn't go all the way into all the John Hughes stuff, but I did love that one. I love the sort of obscure Better Off Dead. And even into, like, I didn't go hard into all the Rambo type of movies.
Right.
But I did love,
did I.
Like, the Running Man, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cult classic for sure.
All-time great movie. Love Total Recall.
Yeah.
That may technically be early 90s, but it fits in the genre 100%. There's never been a movie that blew my mind more as a child than the end of Total Recall. Ellie, have you seen Total Recall?
No. I'm sorry. I'm representing, do you know what I'm doing? I'm representing all the listeners out there who were like asleep during the 80s, like I was, I guess.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger goes to Mars and saves Mars and it's cool. But the ending, spoiler alert, everybody, it all starts because he's going to get a memory implanted into his mind. And he decides that the memory he wants is him going to Mars and saving the world. But then in the memory machine, it unlocks something. And he is, in fact, a secret agent. And he didn't know this. So then he goes on an adventure.
I don't think you're selling her on it.
I know.
I see you backing away already.
I know.
And then at the end, at the very end, the last shot, you realize, like, oh, is this just the memory that he paid to have? Am I right, Tony? Is that your recollection of the film?
I don't know if that was my perspective on it.
Oh, no, but I got it all wrong, guys.
I don't think you got it wrong. I think it was open to interpretation, but I think I don't remember exactly. I just remember the strangeness of it.
You just remember the lady with the three breasts.
Yes.
What? A lady? Yeah. Did you say the lady with three breasts?
I mean, she was just walking by. That wasn't even a thing, right?
That part you've sold. All you had to say was lady with three breasts. Sign me up. I'm in. I mean, I think, and sorry, that was the end of RoboCop?
Total Recall.
Total Recall. See, when I think of 80s movies, I think my notion of them is more John Hughes-y. And I think of high school, and I think of high school angst, and I think of like comedies. And this is a different, I don't want to make it, you know, it's not gender. There's no gender delineation, but it does feel like, oh, well, maybe this is the movies my brothers were watching or something, you know? So, and I just haven't, I'm not as familiar with them.
What's your all-time favorite 80s movie then, Ellie? Is it Breakfast Club? Is it Big?
It's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, yeah.
My whole family loved Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's just, and that's what I say when I think, oh, why don't they make, I don't know if they make a movie like that. That movie was all about a young man skipping school for a day.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it
was.
And
having the full support of everyone.
Yeah. Except his sister.
Which is hard to identify with. Yeah. All that, especially growing up as a skater when we were definitely the outcasts of high school.
Yeah.
It was hard watching that going, I can't connect with any of this.
Oh, how interesting.
The popularity thing. I liked it. I liked his adventure. Yeah. Like, it was fun, you know, and all of his shenanigans. But definitely there was a part of me that was just like, I don't know anyone like that. I'm not like that.
That's so interesting because he is so beloved, right? I mean, that's what infuriates Jennifer Grey because it's like, why he's like a rascal. Yeah. He gets away with everything, but everyone wants to help him. That's so interesting. Right.
Save Ferris. There's a band called Save Ferris.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds.
make mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
I was in Pasadena this summer and we were renting a house, and right around the corner from it was the Back to the Future tree. Like, that was on all the, I don't know, tourist maps. And I got it. I was like, oh yes, this area, this little section of South Pasadena was the setting for so many of those 80s movies.
Oh yeah, and guess what? I have one of the hoverboards.
What?
Wait, what?
Oh my gosh.
Signed by everyone.
What is happening? Are you kidding me?
This is my mind.
This is my holy grail of movie props right here.
Wait, you just casually broke that out. I mean, that's insane.
I usually do have this on display for when I'm doing podcasts, but yeah. you guys just mentioned it, so here we are.
Well, we had to bring that up. I mean, you need to have that behind a locked box.
I plan to put it on a proper display soon, but but that's it. And then I have this one from, is that this 80s? Yeah, Hook. No, Hook might be 90s.
Hook counts, early 90s counts.
This is a skateboard from Hook.
Oh, that?
Really?
Now, how did you get, if I'm not asking an idiotic question, how did you get that?
I got interested in screen used movie props a long time ago through Nightmare Before Christmas, actually. And I got a couple of items that were used in the movie, including the behemoth, the guy with the axe in his head.
Yep.
And then it's a rabbit hole, and you start to go, like, I just, you know, at some point I was like, I gotta back off of this. And I only focused on skateboards.
So, can I ask, do you mean that you contacted the producers or you contacted the studios?
No, there's a whole industry around this. There's huge auctions every few months. There's like a one auction site that's devoted only to movie props. And they send out this gigantic booklet every few months or 6 months. And then they have these big auctions. And I basically go through the PDF of their catalog and just look for a skateboard as a term.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That's,
and then
that's
see what comes up.
So you have have the skateboard from Hook, the hoverboard from Back to the Future.
One hoverboard,
One hoverboard. Do you have any others?
I don't have others. There was one from Highlander, but I found out it wasn't actually used in the movie.
Oh,
like
no.
They built it and they were going to have a scene and then they scrapped it. So I was like, nah.
But how did you find that out? Like, did you purchase it and then found out?
No,
later?
No. I just saw it. I said, I went through, I entered a search term, saw that one, and then went to the scene in the movie and realized that was not what they used. So,
right. No good.
Can't fool me.
Nope. Of all the people, you could not fool you on that specific point.
I would like to find I don't even know if it exists, but there is a skateboard they made for Gleaming the Cube, which is a movie that I was in. And it's made from a manhole cover.
Oh, wow.
The skateboard is made from a manhole cover because it's like the ultra indestructible skateboard. And it's got black wheels and it's got this kind of dragon logo on the bottom. I don't know if the prop guy ever kept it or what he did with it, but that's the one I'm always on the lookout for. And it's pretty, that's a deep cut. Like, you know, you'd have to almost be a skater from my generation to even understand what I'm talking about.
So I'm sorry. It was made out of a real manhole cover?
I don't remember exactly. The one they used for the stunt, there's no way it was that heavy because they did some pretty serious stunts on it. But I'm pretty sure they made one as the hero board to at least show on screen. So
that's
I don't really know.
Pretty cool. It seems like I don't know much about skateboarding myself. I mean, I enjoy watching it. It seems like a manhole cover would be hard to operate as a...
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't the functional one they used for stunts. We know that. But if I could get my hands on that one,
yeah,
that would be pretty big.
Oh, my. See, this is why I love talking to guests on the show, because I'm always, my eyes are opened to new areas of interest, of life that I didn't know about. I mean, the fact that you can, maybe I'm a rube, but I didn't know you could search for a movie props online. And that would give me such a sense of joy to be able, something that you loved, and hopefully it's something that's not too sought after so that it's not too expensive, but that you could then own a piece of it.
Yeah, I mean, there are some big ticket items, you know, like Dorothy's sparkly shoes.
Well, that has to be like $1 million.
Yeah, millions. Yeah. The actual DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Oh my God.
It's just stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's like, those are the dream scenarios.
Yeah, exactly right.
But I will tell you, my favorite 80s movie and one that is really not a popular one is Repo Man.
Because what is it?
It was the Repo Man. Because it was the first truly punk rock movie. Has a punk rock soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
Emilio Estevez is in it. He's the star.
Oh. All I remember is Emilio Estevez being, and he's like a tough guy.
But it also has like Harry Dean Stanton and a lot of people that just weren't actors at all, that were just sort of recruited from the punk scene in that era. And
oh, that's great.
It's funny. It's great. I love it. I mean, I would my wife and I can quote it endlessly. In fact, I think for her 40th birthday party, I rented a movie theater here in San Diego and we just showed Repo Man.
Oh, wait, Tony, I'm sorry. What is the plot of Repo Man?
It's all over the place. It's been Emilio Estevez is kind of aimless. His parents are ineffective and he is always in trouble. He's like a punk rocker. And then he finally just finds a job repossessing cars. But there's one car that has some secret, and they figure out that is an alien vessel.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
That's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Okay. Scott, you've not seen it?
I will tell you, I'm aware of this movie. I didn't realize there was an alien angle to it. You just dramatically increased the chances that I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
A bunch of punks repossess a stolen car that turns out to have aliens inside.
Yeah. If I could find any prop from that movie, I would buy it.
Oh, and you have
anything.
Not been able to?
It's no.
Is it a cult classic? Like, is it, do
yes,
people, I didn't.
Very
okay.
much so, yes.
So have
yes.
a lot, like I, obvious, I'm not a good measure because I haven't heard of a lot of movies. Or is it a little known movie or am I just in the dark?
In my world, it's very iconic, but
okay. Yeah.
Yes, it's relatively unknown.
Yeah, that sounds like one I would actually, Scott might make fun of me. I would also like to check that out because
cult classic.
I
yeah,
love a cult
sure.
classic.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, Tony, have you shared your, because you mentioned your kids, but do you show them these movies? Do they connect to them in the same way you do?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. We tried to show a bunch of them as teenagers, The Jerk.
Yes.
Which we think is just this brilliant piece of
yes,
cinema.
I have seen
and
it.
It moves so slowly compared to movies now, they just couldn't hang in right. there for it.
That's and everyone's, including mine, including all of ours, attention spans are so much shorter so that if
sure.
something isn't happening and you're just actually waiting and listening, you feel impatient.
You do, but there's something to be said for the deep character
yes.
buildup and,
yes.
and you know, the backstory.
Yeah.
And
yep.
so... I don't know. It just feels, it feels like it has more weight that way.
Yes.
And even though, yes, I'm talking about The Jerk and you know, it's how ridiculous it is. and it makes the humor, I don't know, more effective.
Yes.
Because you're not just bombarded with jokes the whole time.
Oh my gosh. And everything, there's this sort of like ironic detachment I feel that's in so much now, so much of the comedy, so much of the jokes in movies and television now seem to be like this kind of, is that even a thing? Like that catchphrase, I'm like, let's do away with that. It is a thing. Just yeah. Let's believe it. And I feel like that didn't exist in 80s movies, or right. 80s comedies, I should say.
We embrace the absurdity for sure.
Exactly right.
Well, it is interesting because there's some movies that have sort of bridged the divide. But one I think about is Die Hard, all-time great 80s movie,
sure. Yep.
You know, Bruce yep. Willis. Have you seen Die Hard, Ellie? She's not.
No.
The question is, the big controversy is Die Hard a Christmas film?
Right. That's the big controversy. I can't weigh in on that.
We should watch it for Christmas, Ellie. All it right. absolutely is. His wife's name is Holly. Anyway. Well,
tell me why, can you just quickly tell me why is it even up for debate, whether it's a Christmas movie?
Because it takes place during Christmas. Because it takes place during the holidays. It's their big holiday party. That's the whole premise. Yeah. Am I right in that?
Absolutely. It takes place during a Christmas party, and there's lots and lots of Christmas stuff. All the music is like, it's Ode to Joy, which is sort of Christmas related.
Even the ending, the credits, is like, it's all holiday themed, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and like I said, his wife's name is Holly, like Christmas Holly. Like it is self-aware.
I didn't catch
of leaning
that one.
Into Christmassy trope.
That seems more conspiracy than anything, but you go for it.
Well, all I care about is Bruce Willis' wife's name in Die Hard and that three-breasted lady in Total
those
Recall.
Those are my two takeaways.
You're catching all the Easter eggs.
Those are the things I notice.
Those are big, for sure.
Well, this has been just a delight. Are there any other 80s movies that we missed that we didn't cover,
Oh, so many.
Tony?
I mean, so many. And I just had one in my head. I was like, how could we not talk about this? But I don't remember it.
It'll pop back in. I mean,
Gremlins,
Jaws,
Home
Poltergeist.
Alone.
Oh, Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
I don't know. Was it 80s? Was Prince of Darkness 80s?
Oh, I don't know. Haven't seen it.
It was 80s for sure. Yeah, 1987.
Well, okay, so that to me... At that time in my life, that was the scariest movie I ever saw.
Prince of Darkness?
Prince of Darkness, yeah.
Is it a Satan movie?
Yeah, yeah. Is it a Satan? I've never heard anyone qualify it as such, but yes, it is.
I did like that. I know that pause spoke volumes, Tony. Is it a Satan movie? You were very confused and you just said, yep. It's a Satan movie. Yep, it is.
The whole premise is that they've discovered this thing under a church and they realize that it's this portal for Satan to be resurrected, I don't know, or created. It's weird. But the whole angle is that they're discovering this through new technology, and I was always fascinated with new technology.
Well, buckle up, because maybe we all need to revisit Prince of Darkness with, you know, I mean, technology's it's outdoing its own self. So it's like, The thing is that the Poltergeist movies, the Exorcist movies, no, I can't see any of those. I had such a fear of Satan as a kid. And clearly I've outgrown it. I'm like referring to movies as Satan movies. But I don't think
Would you consider Poltergeist a Satan movie?
Well, I've never seen it, Tony, because I am so frightened by the idea. What is it?
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, if you haven't seen it just because you're avoiding it, then...
I am purposely avoiding it. Well, I have a question. Has it aged in such a way that I might just find it, you know, campy now?
I mean, the effects are that. Oh, I know what the movie I was thinking of, Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that first scene in Ghostbusters, when you just think like, oh, it's a fun Saturday Night Live movie. And then that demon shows up and you're like, oh, this got real.
Yeah.
Like that is a little shocking. Poltergeist has a few of those moments.
Okay. I just saw Poltergeist on my, you know, at like whatever, the screenshot of it on my TV as I was perusing titles. And it was just a little girl with her hands up to the television screen. Well, that's enough for me. I'm scared. I don't know.
I have a question though. Okay. So Ellie, if you're afraid of horror movies, would you do a horror movie?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
But then would you watch it later?
Well, that's a great question, because what would have to go into the editing? I think it'd be fun to be in a horror movie because as you're filming it, you know that it's fake and Satan is far away. But who knows what they're going to do in that edit room? So maybe I would be scared to watch it. I don't know. Tony, if you have time, we would love if you could play a game that we'd like to play called Love It or Loathe It. If you could stick around
sure.
for a few minutes. Okay, great.
Okay.
Well, when we come back, we'll play that game.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new, Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
Guys, we're back with Tony Hawk. We are going to play a game we love to play. It's called Love It or Loathe It. Tony, we are going to list some items, different sports, snacks, holidays, activities. You tell us if you love that thing or you loathe that thing.
Those are the only choices?
Yep. There's no C.
Okay.
That's either A or B, love or loathe.
All right. Well, I hope they're that divisive.
I hope so, too, because we want you to win this game.
Okay. Win. There's a win. Is there a prize?
The prize is your pride. So we'll see. Okay. What if the prize was the multi-million dollar ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz? You probably
wouldn't. No, I'll take the skateboard
care.
From Gleaming the Cube.
Manhole cover
all
skateboard
day. Yes.
Is the prize.
All day.
All right. Tony, love it or loathe it, Birdman the movie. Your nickname is Birdman, but have you ever seen the movie?
Oh, I love it just because I love Michael Keaton.
Great. Yeah, same here.
And we didn't even talk about Beetlejuice, which is absolutely one of my all-time favorite movies.
I like Beetlejuice.
Another
too.
Outstanding 80s movie. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
They were busy in the 80s.
Name one that's bad. That's what all the bad ones have been forgotten. All right, love it or loathe it, Tony, to-do lists.
I don't know.
Oh my god.
I guess I loathe them by default because I don't really make them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, how do you get so much done? You're one of the most productive people in the world.
I think I consider my email inbox and my unread texts as my to-do list.
Oh, that's very good.
That's actually how I do it as well, yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, the lists themselves are loathed by you, and it's hard to disagree.
I just I'm imagining having a little journal and writing. That's just not me.
I have to write things down lately because I will forget them otherwise. And they're always just for everyone, for every human being. It's like the most thankless tasks, right? It's like, oh, you gotta, I don't know, make the socks, whatever. Anyway, they're boring, but you have to do it or you'll forget. Okay. So I love them, but that's not, it's not about me. It's about you. You loathe them, but you get stuff done anyway.
Does that mean I didn't win?
Not yet. You're in jeopardy.
Okay.
Love it or loathe it, Tony. Ripsticks.
I don't love it.
Okay.
I don't.
Our producers gave us this one, and we had to both look it up. They're the sort of pivot skateboards, right?
It's a take on a skateboard. And I get I get it. Like, I get what it is and how you have to sort of maneuver your way to make it work, you know, more like gyrate to make it go, but it just doesn't have all the options. Like, it has no trucks, can't grind it. Mm-hmm. Some people can do kickflips on it, but that's rare. And it's just not as functional to me as a skateboard.
Understood.
Tony, you're just saying the kickflips. You just reminded me, and this is a diversion. But one of the most joyful things that I've ever seen in the entire world was a YouTube video, and maybe you've done more than one of them, of you just driving around shouting at skaters to do kickflips.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like the best thing in the world to see of their reactions, to be astonished that it's you demanding that they do kickflips.
Well, the wild thing to me about that was that when I was a kid, kickflips weren't even invented until I was 14. And even then, it wasn't something that was well received. Like, no one really understood it or wanted to do it. They just didn't get the functionality of it. And so it was an obscure trick invented by Rodney Mullen that people just did. They called it a magic flip because they didn't understand how he flipped the board. And then as skating evolved into the street era and beyond and video games and whatnot, now any kid knows what a kickflip is and possibly can do it.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
That's what's wild to me is that I could just, some kids skating, like, do a kickflip and he can do it. That's just crazy. You know, I mean.
Or at least they try, right?
Or they get close. I feel like to me that was just a celebration of how far skating has come.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and as a non-skater, I received it. It was so joyful to see everyone in this community sort of doing that. So anyway, yeah. I'm sorry to take
no, it's cool. It was
on
fun.
That tangent.
I enjoy doing that. Thank you.
I love it or loathe it, Tony. Cursive.
Yeah, I loathe it now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Who loves it? I added it on the list because my son is learning cursive right now, and it's like torture.
It was just mandatory when I was a kid. Like, you know, it was mandatory as a kid. So you did it. And at some point I just stopped writing like that after high school and never went back.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. It's like, I mean, we've seen, at least I've read one article once about this. Is there really any point to teaching our kids cursive anymore? I don't know.
Right, and you had like the Y had to go down below the line.
Oh, yeah.
And all the
R,
measurements.
Little lowercase R looks nothing like an R. It's all it's all frustrating.
We all should have been learning to type.
Yes, had we any wisdom back then or foresight.
Yeah.
That was the correct answer, loathe. Okay.
Okay.
Just kidding. Love it or loathe it, checking your bag at the airport when you travel.
Well, I loathe it because I have had my skateboard lost a few times.
Yeah.
Oh.
A few times?
Definitely stolen once because I saw it up for sale afterwards.
Was it up for sale as yours?
Yeah. Yeah. The guy said, oh, I work at an airport and Tony couldn't carry his on. So he gave it to my friend who works at baggage claim. I was like, that's a lie.
That's terrible. Did you?
No, I mean, I'm not going to go. Yeah, I'm not going to go chasing ghosts. But and it's not that like I'm OK. My skateboard isn't so special. It's just more that if I arrive somewhere and I have to perform and my skateboard is not there, to set up whatever they have in stock is very risky. For me.
Right. Oh, that's a different, that's a very, you know, again.
Well, but I'm saying it's like, then it makes me loathe that process because I've had such bad experiences with it.
Right.
But having all this experience with travel, I can tell you exactly which airports or which countries will allow you to carry your skateboard on.
Oh, interesting. Anywhere in the U.S.?
In the U.S., yes, but not if you are connecting through Europe and you land in the airport with the skateboard, they will make you go outside and check it in.
Oh, that's, I mean, it's not
Which
hilarious.
Really
but that
sucks.
Seems yeah. just inefficient and yeah. somewhat unproductive.
Yeah.
But you didn't hear it from me.
No.
That makes perfect sense for why someone might loathe.
This is, honestly, we've done these love and loathe this with a lot of guests. This that's the most grounded one. Very practical.
Yeah.
So we've learned okay. something. Thank you. Yeah. Last one, love it or loathe it, hawks.
I love it.
Like the actual bird. Yes, he loves it. How could he not?
I live just coincidentally. I live at the top of this hill with a canyon below us, and hawks land on our fence.
Now really? I love that is no accident. That is the universe just clicking together. Every now and then, everything comes together. That is so, I love
it. It's pretty
that.
Cool.
I mean, that's kind
In fact,
of
one time,
beautiful.
One time, one land, I have a little skate park area in my backyard, and one landed on the fence of the skate park and just sat there for a while. And we're like, all right, that is super cool. I got photos of it.
Did you, I was going to say, did you capture that?
That's yeah, pictures, that's pictures, fantastic. And it did happen. Yes.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. It's every now, like when things come together like that, you think, okay, all right, it's not all Satan movies. There's someone else running the show. I don't know what it means. Tony, you won the game. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're the winner. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. We wanted to ask if there are any projects, anything you would like to plug or promote.
Oh, right now, well, maybe. We have a podcast, Hawk versus Wolf. My friend Jason Ellis and I, he's a pro skater around my age, and we have a lot of really good guests, and we are funny on our own, but we're picking up steam, so I'm really stoked for people to check it out.
That's fantastic. Please, everyone listening to this, listen to yours as well.
Thank you.
Well, we are so happy and honored that you were able to join us. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dinkla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Because there's nothing like a weekend pause with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.